Okay, it is May 31st, 2001. We're at the Cimarron Heritage Center in Boise City, Oklahoma, talking with more ladies and a gentleman about the Dust Bowl. So we'll start and let each of you state your name, your maiden name and your married name, when you were born, and where you were born. And then after we've done all the introductions, then we'll start with questions. Okay, so we'll let you start first.
I'm Ina K. Labrie from Kenton, Oklahoma. My maiden name is Ina Catherine Roberts. I was raised or born at Wiley, Colorado. It's 10 miles out of Lamar. And I lived there till I was 25 years old. I married Ross Labrie and came to, we first moved into New Mexico just over the state line, and then we moved to Kenton and been there for about 55 years.
All right.
When were you born?
1912, August
29th,
1912.
Okay, number two.
I'm Marcia Rice, and I was originally Marcia Foreman, and I was born May the 6th, 1917, south of Wheelis, 4 miles, and I live 5 miles south now. We bought a land adjoining my parents, so I've always lived there, except for a few years that I was away at school. And when I first married, I lived at Kenton for 2 years and at Folsom, New Mexico, 1 year. And I married Lee Rice. He was a Wheelis boy also. Is that all you can do?
That's all we need for right now. All right, and one more.
I was Dorothy Settles, born at Texoma. 23rd of October, 1916. And I lived there till May of 1937.
Okay. And then in 37, where did you move?
I went to Missouri. But I came back here in 1940.
And finally, we'll have you introduce yourself, too.
Ma'am?
You can introduce yourself, too.
Well, I'm Lloyd Jacobs. I was born in southeastern Kansas, 1911, August the 7th. Come out here with my folks, and I was 3.5 years old in 1914. And I've been here most of the time since then. Well, I left in 35 during the 30s, dirty 30s, and because I couldn't make a living.
We'll come back and ask you to tell us more about that in a little bit.
All right.
All right. Well, we usually start with just what was it typical day like when you were growing up? Would you consider where you lived to be city life or country life? And we'll just kind of go from there, so...
I was typical country. I was raised on a farm. I went to school and for all 12 years in Wiley School. And then I went to college. Went to Colorado State, it was called then. Colorado Aggies. Colorado
yeah.
State now. And only went 1 year because you could teach after you had 1 year. And it was Depression times.
Mm-hmm.
And I started teaching in 31. I taught until 38.
Where did you teach?
Just little country schools.
In here or in Colorado?
Up there in Colorado.
Yeah?
Just around my local schools, right around home. I always stayed home.
Yeah. How about you guys?
Well, I'm a typical farm girl. I always lived on the farm, and we've always farmed and ranched. And then I went to Goodwill, to PAMC. To college, and the first year I wasn't old enough to get a certificate, so I went the second year, and by that time you had to have 2 winters and a summer. Then I got my teacher's certificate, and I taught my first school out here at Hurley, and I taught there 2 years. In the meantime, I married Lee Rice, and we lived at Kenton. And then he worked for the Wittenberg Ranch. So we went to Folsom, or he did. I went back to school and finished. Then we came back out here, and I taught at Mineral School, which is original, one of the original schools. And then we moved to the Felt community, and I taught over there 2 years, and then I stayed home.
A lot of moving around.
Well, a little. Not very far away, though.
You know, that's... I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's something interesting. My mother and dad lived in the east part of the county, and mother taught at Mineral, too.
Oh.
And you were probably...
A long time
about
before
that,
I
huh?
did.
Yeah.
Wow.
How long was that school in existence?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it stopped soon after I married, because George Kelly's children went there, and I think it was probably in '40 when it stopped or something like that. I couldn't say exactly. They had a little store and a school there when we married. I remember that, because, see, George Kelly was my husband's cousin, and we'd go over there once in a while, and they had a school about that time. But I can't tell you when it quit, but I do know about that.
Well, I think it just went about 2 years after I was there.
Well, so, how long was that?
Let's see, that would be in... I have to stop and count up.
Well, 30, would that be about right?
About right, uh-huh.
It might have been even 38 after we were married, but I know it wasn't very long.
Mrs. Jacobs, tell us about the house where you lived.
Oh, I lived in a lot of them in Texas.
Yeah.
My dad was went from the city clerk who had to dig the pipelines to lay water mains and stuff like that to the manager of the utilities company. And we moved all over Texoma. But we went to school at the one school. There is Texoma, Texas, mm-hmm. and the cemetery's in Texas. And there was a great school in Texas, but all the high school came over to Oklahoma. So, that's about it.
Yeah.
So far as going to school is concerned.
Do you remember how many kids you went to school with? How many were in your class?
There were 28 in one class. And I don't remember how many there were. The class that I should have graduated with just went crazy.
Yeah?
And
what do you mean?
They got held back. I mean, they had to take their senior year over again, and they graduated with my younger sister. So, I didn't get to keep up with them, you know.
Yeah.
Did you go crazy, too?
Yeah.
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 What did you do? What did you do that was so crazy?
Well, the war had started, and the boys thought they were going to be drafted, and they rebelled, you know. They rebelled about everything. And they just goofed off.
Hmm.
So, in order to get a high school education, they had to take their senior year over.
Hmm. That's weird.
That's an original story. I haven't heard that one before. So what was it like going to these little country schools? And then what was it like teaching in them?
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed it. You felt at home with the parents and the children. They were all well behaved, and it was wonderful. But the main story I wanted to tell you was when the dust blew. And I parked my car on the south side of the Woods home. I lived in a little well house. That was the teach reach. And I parked the car on the south side of the house. We had a windstorm in March, 3 days, 3 days and nights. So the next, when the wind let up, Mr. Wood came and dug the sand away from my door so I could get out. And he said, you better come over and look at your car. So I went over and we looked out the window, and there was a spot about the size of a basketball. It was all you could see of the car. It was just that on the corner of the top. And it was completely covered. So some of the men had to come dig it out. So anyway, it didn't bother the car, though. The men said it started, it ran fine. They said, maybe when you get to town, you ought to have the oil changed. But we never could tell there was a thing wrong with it. It was fine. But anyway.
Did all of that dirt and sand damage the outside of it?
Not particularly. Yeah. It just whipped around it and just piled up. That's the way it would do. It would just whirl and, you know, keep piling the sand up. So.
Is that the first dust storm you remember?
Oh, no.
What was the first one that you remember? What was that like?
Well, the black duster we talked about was, you know, the first black duster. Let's see, that was in 1935. So we had a lot after that. But, of course, it was dry and we'd have dust storms, but not what we call the black dusters. They just rolled.
Yeah.
It would be calm, and this would just roll in.
Have they not, excuse me,
go ahead.
Has nobody brought you a picture?
We've seen the ones that they have in the museum here.
Yeah.
With the Black Sunday.
It would just roll. It was just rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And as it came, then it would come over and everything would just get totally black, dark.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't see anything.
Now, some people say that they were scared when they see this. Other people say that they weren't. What about you? What was your impression of this Black Sunday?
I was scared.
I can't imagine how you wouldn't be.
Well, it was an interesting thing. I mean, you know, it was calm. It just rolled in, you know. There was, it was, you just wondered what was happening. But I did hear a lady that lived on the ranch below us said she just knew the world was coming into an end.
But, say that.
Yeah. How about you? What did you think?
Well, I didn't live down in this area at that time. I lived at Lamar.
Yeah.
In that area. And it rolled in, and I remember the worst part to me, it seemed like, was I was teaching at the time, and it seemed like a night after you get out of school, there'd be one of those dusters rolling in, and you couldn't see, not to even hardly get. I had a place that I stayed in case of those storms. We only lived 5 or 6 miles from school. But that sounds foolish, but we couldn't make that 5 or 6 miles. In a car, I'd stick my head out and drive with my head sticking out the window, and you couldn't hardly see the bar pits. You couldn't hardly tell whether he was going or coming. The lights didn't penetrate through it.
You had a place in the middle kind of set up that you could stay in if you...
I stayed at I had people's... I had a house where I could stay in case of a storm of some sort or something like that. I'd stay with certain people's houses. I pay them for to stay with them for a night or two. And lots of times I couldn't get home that 5 or 6 miles because it would be just so bad.
Huh.
You just couldn't see to drive. Isn't that right, Marcia?
Oh, no, you couldn't.
You couldn't see to drive.
You couldn't see inside the house.
That's right.
We
had a light, a good light. We didn't have electricity then, so...
Well, we did because we lived in town. And it, you know, just a cord hanging down with a light bulb on the end of it. But you couldn't see that light bulb most of the time.
Huh. So what would you do whenever you saw this storm coming? What would be the procedure? What do you do when you have a dust storm come?
Well, we started getting sheets and blankets wet and hanging them up over the windows and doors and prayed. Believe me, lots of us did. This big storm they're talking about, we got caught at the church. And we had to hurry to get home.
But if you had some chickens or a few animals, you'd try to get those inside, or they would blow away, you know. So you'd want to get in, but definitely everybody would get in. A few of the men would be out sometimes, and usually they'd go to a fence and follow the fence line, you know, just holding the fence to get to the back home. But we also did that in snowstorms.
Did the chickens behave any differently, maybe before you could see or before the wind started to pick up?
I don't recall that they did anything particular.
No warnings from animals that the storms were on their way or anything?
Not unless it be a horse kicking. You know, a horse will run and kick if they hear a storm coming.
Yeah.
But as far as, I don't remember any. How do you?
No, not in particular.
Well, okay, after the dust storm is over and the winds start to calm down, what happens next? What do you have to do to clean it up? Because I can't imagine that you could.
It's awful because you have all those big sheets and blankets and stuff that you have to wash.
Mm-hmm. Well, the dust was so fine that it was just, you know, it wasn't like sand. It was just dust. And if you sweep, it was, you know, you really stir it up again. But you had to get it out of your house. So it was all over everything.
Mm-hmm. Shovels were not unusual, were they?
No, absolutely not.
There was nobody had sweepers, no electricity to run it.
And most of the houses were not that tight, you know. We used ceiling tape and taped all the windows and doors, everything, to try to keep the dust out as best we could. But it was bad.
Well, everybody did that, I think. I don't remember us having this trouble, but I've heard people talk about the ceilings, the dirt got so high, so heavy in the attics that they'd have to go up there and clean them out, or the ceiling would fall through. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have that trouble. I lived in a rock house because I grew up in it was not the kind of a rock house I have now, but it was a good rock house. And I don't think we had it quite as bad as some of the people that were in lesser
frame houses.
Yes, frame houses and such.
The dust couldn't get through that rock.
No, and I think maybe they might have been just, the roof was right next to the rock and it kind of kept it out, I believe, a little bit.
How many rooms were in that house?
Had a kitchen and a dining room and a big, long living room and two bedrooms on the other side. Of course, we didn't have a bath. Later on, they put a bath in the north end of the kitchen, or the west end of the kitchen.
How many people were living there?
Well, my grandparents, my parents, and I. Five of us.
Are you an only child?
I was an only child. You said I wouldn't raise one, but I did. You never say you won't do something that you don't do it.
Yeah, I know.
But we lost our first baby, and they told us we'd never have one, so we felt blessed to think we had her.
Only children are unusual in this area of the country, it seems like.
Is that right?
We don't run into very many.
We talk to you, not very many only children. Were you an only child?
I was the only daughter, but I had three brothers.
And what is your birth order? Were you the oldest?
I was the second, and I had two brothers younger than me. And talking about chickens and things, you know, we had such a hard time raising anything, and it was dry. But one summer, we had some chickens. And that was before we had pressure cookers. But we finally got a pressure cooker in the county, and you could get it from the extension office for 24 hours. So Mother and I canned chickens. We got that pressure cooker one day, and my dad, my uncle, and Mother and I really get worked on those chickens, and we stayed up all night canning chickens, but that sure was good next winter.
What other kinds of foods did you can?
You preserved your pork by putting it down in salt, a salt cure. You'd put it in big barrels, and you could fry your sausage down and cover it with the lard. And you dig that out next winter, and it was nice and fresh.
Provided you cooked it long enough.
Yes, you have to cook it long enough. You couldn't let it be half cooked.
If my sister was going to show me how to do it, she, I don't know, I don't remember how many quarts she put up. Now, you just put them down in the cellar and leave them, and when you want them next winter, you go get them. Wasn't one of them that kept. You can imagine what that smelled like.
Oh, yes. Huh.
Why, she didn't cook it long enough?
That's right.
So she was putting kind of raw pork down in there.
And yeah. Covering it with grease.
Lard.
Yeah.
If you had, in the winter, when you had beef, you'd usually we'd share with the neighbors, and we'd take like a quarter each, and we hung ours on the windmill tower, and it would freeze. You know, and I'd keep it. Then we'd take it down and slice it off and cook it. But you had it had to stay frozen. You couldn't have it except in the wintertime. That's the reason we'd share with neighbors a part of a beef at a time. So,
you have it in the tar?
Yes.
You did it, put it in the, down where it was cool on the cement floor during the daytime, hang it out at night.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That's fine.
A lot of people think that winters have gotten a little more mild over the years. They couldn't hang that beef in the windmill nowadays. Not sure if that's good or bad.
But we did then.
Yeah.
We hung ours on the north side of the house.
Yeah. If you didn't hang it up high enough, would coyotes get it? Or
yes.
Mm-hmm. Or hungry neighbors?
Yeah.
Cats,
dogs. Right.
We just had a pulley and pull it up. Hang it up.
Yeah.
So what was the best food? What was the best thing to eat?
Beans.
Beans?
That was the only thing that was plentiful.
Yeah. And so now we've noticed this phenomenon that something like beans or corn mush or something you had to eat all the time, either people who ate it during the Depression, either they really like it now or they completely hate it now. So with beans, which way did you go?
It's fine with me.
Yeah.
I love them. We had, and cornbread. And if you raise cabbage, you made kraut.
Right.
Put it in the jar. You bruise it as you put it down in the crock jar, put salt on it, add some more.
What about you? What was your favorite thing to eat?
Well, I believe beef was a favorite for me.
Yeah.
My folks raised lots of chickens when I was a little girl. My mother raised hundreds of chickens, and we sold them, sold eggs, and that. That was part of our living.
Yeah.
But I prefer beef.
Too many chickens, huh?
Too many. Well, I'm a rancher. I should expect it.
You're the original Where's the Beef lady. Where's the beef?
Yes. It's hard for me to cook. Oh, I can't cook without beef. I can cook. Give me some meat.
Yeah.
I just can't cook without meat. But we cook lots of beans too. Don't think I cook lots of beans. In fact, I buy lots of times buy them by the 100 pounds sack. So yeah. You know I cook a lot of beans.
And we'd have sorghum molasses. If we had any rain at all, we could raise a little bit of cane. And we had a neighbor who they had this mill. I mean, you'd run this sorghum. The stalks through this
squeezer.
Yes.
Rollers.
Mm-hmm.
Rollers.
And it squeezed it
and
out.
It squeezed the juice out. And this lady could have then cooked it. And she knew exactly. She just laid a little wood in at a time and just cooked it slowly and kept skimming. And she had the nicest sorghum molasses, golden color. That with your beans and cornbread and once in a while some kraut.
And the hot biscuits.
Now,
almost always every morning at our house we had hot biscuits.
Yeah.
And we used to bring them, if you had corn, you could bring the corn into Ralston's here. They had a mill and ground your
like corn meal.
I lived through all of it.
So, what were your daily chores?
even trying to exist.
Yeah.
Well, usually you'd clean out the dust and the dirt every morning. If you had some animals, take care of those. I'm doing all the talking, I think.
Well, actually, I was going to ask you, Mrs. Jacobs, you mentioned pulling the blankets down. You'd have to wash them. What was the procedure for that? On the washboard?
On the washboard.
Yeah.
Wring them the hand and drag them out and put them across the line and hope it didn't blow before they got dry.
A never-ending task.
I guess we were fortunate. My mother had an old kerosene engine on a washing machine, as long as I can remember.
Oh, sure enough?
Yes.
Good deal.
Back there, years and years ago. But I've heard Ross's aunt tell how when they were youngsters, they lived up north of where I live right now, the old Dacey house where the Dacey family was raised. And they told Aunt Nellie's Skelly told how they would go to the creek and they cut a tree down so the kids could walk across to go to school, and they'd get out on that tree and they'd reach down in the water and wash their clothes and then hang them on soapweeds to dry. Now, I didn't experience that, but that was Ross's family that did that.
That's the crudest... That's the crudest washing machine.
Yes.
We finally got one that she could shake it. Yes. With a handle on it, and she'd shake it back.
Did those work? The handle shaking ones?
They did pretty good. Mm-hmm. And you take it out and then sit in a tub, and as Dorothy said, then you hang it on the line.
Didn't Fight Combs have one of those in that? I wonder what happened to that bunch of stuff it had. Mm-hmm.
I remember our first washing machine looked like a barrel. It was made out of wooden, you know, like these wooden barrels that we had used to have, and it had a little engine under it. And I don't know how it worked inside. I was small. I don't even remember. But I know Daddy would go out there and crank that washing machine up for Mother, and Mother'd wash on it and run her clothes through into a tub and wrench them and hang them out. But I was real small, so that's been many a year ago.
It wasn't a Maytag.
I don't know. It might have been Maytag brand. I can't tell you.
Everybody has Maytag washing.
Yes, but I couldn't tell you. We had Maytags afterwards, but that old washer.
Almost sounds like a homemade contraption.
But it wasn't. We bought it. I remember that because Mother was real proud of that washing machine.
Yeah.
We're living in Lloyd's parents' house.
Yeah.
And you walk across the floor in the dust. Filter.
Still, huh?
You can dust this morning and you need to dust at noon, and you dust at noon and you need to dust that evening.
Even today.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Does that remind you of the dirty 30s?
Indeed, it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
You feel all nostalgic and you want to go back there.
Oh, no.
Look at that.
We took children, us older ones, took at least two kids, one on either side. Huh. Home from school that way.
Wrapped up in a coat.
Well, it's my coat. And they're behind. They're on either side of me. Huh. And I have my foot against the curb, even if it happens to be a ditch. That's the way we got home from school.
Just a way to a way to find your way along, huh?
If you had to. You couldn't see.
It was on the coat.
There was no pavement anywhere.
When did you make this?
I did that after Lloyd. Not very long ago. Maybe 20 years.
Have you made other paintings?
Mm-hmm.
All about the Dust Bowl?
No.
Just various things?
Did you have
just that
feed
one.
Sack dresses?
Yes. I showed that to some of the people over at Texoma that... We're not my class at school, and they said, oh, I remember that.
Yeah. It brings back memories. Yeah. That's pretty dusty looking.
Yeah, it is.
Just.
You guys ever do any artwork about the dust storms?
I do artwork, but not
about You'd rather forget that.
I did embroidery work, but that was as much art as I ever. I wasn't an artist.
You mentioned feed sack dresses. Did you make a feed sack dress, or did your mom make them for you?
Made them for us. Yeah. We were growing up.
Yeah.
In our underwear. my mother would go to buy feed for those chickens. My mother always had a big bunch of chickens. She was very careful to pick her sacks that she could use for dresses and for mm-hmm. underwear and for everything else. I think we all wore them. Everybody wore them.
Some of those people ripped them up and washed them and put them out so that people like us could buy them.
I was going to say, or we could, would exchange until we got those to match. And they were quite attractive when you got a little braid or something to put on them.
Two or three sacks, you'd get, they were big sacks, you know. Yeah. Yard square. Mm-hmm. And, but you had to have about three of them alike to make a dress. And so, normally by speed, well, we always tried to get about three alike so we could.
Do you remember a favorite one, a favorite pattern of a dress that you had? No?
Just so glad one time when Mother went to a teacher's meeting in Oklahoma City, and when she came home, she brought a dress for Marion and I. It was store-bought. She didn't make it out of
whatever your
name. Oh, we were proud of those things.
What did it look like?
Straight up and down.
Yeah.
With buttons down the front.
I think so. Proudest I ever was of a suit that I ever had. My mother made out of my brother's old suit. He wore the elbows out, and she ripped this all up and washed it and pressed it good and made me a suit. And I was in college. She sent this when we were having homecoming, and I was so proud of that. It was so neat, and it lasted a long time. But she was a good seamstress, and she could make all those things.
I think everybody was a seamstress at that time. They had to, or they didn't have any clothes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of things, you mentioned homecoming at college, what kind of things were you doing for entertainment? What was fun?
Mostly you were busy working.
Yeah.
I had to work to go to college. I worked in the laundry to go. To give money to go.
Yeah. What about you?
I went to hospital work.
Oh, yeah?
First as a medical technician, and then as a nurse, and then as a nursing home administrator, and then I retired. Hmm.
What about when you were smaller and living in the area? What would you do for fun times if you had an extra minute or two to spare?
Or if the neighbor children came over, what would you do?
Play games.
What kind of games do you remember?
Oh, drop the handkerchief and tug of war. And I was trying to think last night some of the games that I couldn't think of. Hopscotch and jump the rope.
Yeah.
Thing. Of course, we always had some card games to play in the house, too. But then,
yeah, do you remember the card games that you play?
Oh, no, I can't tell.
Old Maid.
Yes, Old Maid.
Rook.
And dominoes. Rook. We've always had dominoes and Rook. Mm-hmm. I don't remember any others, but those were some of the games that we played.
But talking about neighbors, we lived a long way from a neighbor.
Yeah.
We didn't have close neighbors, so it was just totally our family.
Was it special to get together with your neighbors? Was that a...
Oh, yes. We'd usually try to go to church on Sunday, and then most of the time we'd all go to one place on one Sunday, to another neighbor's on another Sunday, and, we, you know, you'd have a good time together.
How does that sound from a guy's perspective? Did you have different things to do for fun, or was that very similar?
There's nothing much, only go to church on Sunday. It's like Marcia said, there's work, we worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Day and day. Hmm. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, I had a lot of chores to do, cows to milk.
Yeah.
And,
what kind of farm equipment did you use?
Well,
what kind of farm equipment?
Horses, mules.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing to start with. Mm-hmm. That's, of course, graduated up and My dad bought a tractor in 1932, I believe it was. 33.
That was your first tractor?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what kind it was?
Caterpillar.
Yeah.
15 cat. Golden. And Dad put me on it. The man showed me how to drive it. Dad said, take it home. And I did. I'd never been on it before.
Oh, you would have, I was trying to figure out how old you would have been. 21?
Yeah.
Something like that. Were you sad to see the horses and mules go?
Well, we did. We kept them, most of them, for a long time after that because we used them to cultivate with. We didn't have no... We didn't buy any equipment to cultivate with.
Yeah.
We still had our horse-drawn cultivators and stuff, and he had bought, when he bought that tractor, he bought a one-way, a 9-foot one-way. Mm-hmm. And then we plowed the ground with that. But we still used our teams to plant, cultivate with.
A one-way, does that mean it just turns the ground one way? It's one not way. A double?
Yep. Right. Just one way. No, it was... One way, that means it just throws the dirt one way.
Right.
Yeah. That's why we did that for a number of years.
Was that a big step? I mean, were a lot of people getting tractors at that time? Or were you one of the first or the last?
Well, that is a big step. They begin to, a few of them in spots begin to raise a little bit of grain, feed, and stuff. But in this area and out where we live, there was 7 years, 5 that we didn't raise nothing. And 2 of them, well, we did raise a little feed, and then it got better in 1940. Then it rained and raised big crops, then all, and wheat crops. Then when we went to getting the combines.
And just went on from there.
Went from there and graduated and just kept going.
You know, we're each from a different area, but we're all from the West End.
That's right.
But
did you ever have a water fights?
Yeah.
We had water fights.
Rode horse to school, to Bertrand School. 3 miles, quarter. Either that or walk. We walked it quite a bit.
What kind of community gatherings would you have gone to? It would have had to be something big for you guys to come in town, I guess.
We had our own in our own community.
Yeah.
We did it all.
What kind of things were you doing in your community?
Oh, we'd have church suppers. And
yeah.
And just, I don't remember, maybe some kind of school program, and people would all go to that.
I remember that my mother used to go out to Kenton to some kind of big church doings. And us kids, Marion and I, had to stay at home. The girls were off in college, and we had to stay at home and be sure Dad ate. But Mother would come and be gone a whole week out at Kenton. Programs or something.
We used to have singing conventions, and you know, they'd all gather and have maybe like at Kenton or Felt.
Local community.
Uh-huh.
Well,
they'd come from, or the Hammondrees, you know, always sang a lot, came from Keys, and anybody that could sing or play, we'd have big singings, really good times.
We just spoke to Mrs. Hammondree in Keys yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
She mentioned her singing.
Mm-hmm. Mildred.
Mm.
Yep.
What would happen if you got somebody up there that couldn't sing?
Well, they
you
could.
Listen anyway.
Clap when they're done.
Get them off.
Sure them off.
Well, it was kind of unusual that my husband was quite a piano player. And they called him the piano player, with cowboy piano player. And he played for Hee Haws, and he played for a church all the time, and everything, but he was quite a piano player.
He was very good.
And the piano I have in my house was brought in And when he was about 4 or 5 years old, and he would have been 97 in September.
Wow.
And that I still have that piano, and it holds a good tune. It really does. Everybody talks about how that piano holds a tune. My daughter's a good piano player, but she's not like her daddy. I'll have to say that. She's good. Now, I'm saying that. But her daddy had a special touch.
The cowboy piano player.
And they called him the cowboy piano player. He was known downstate. We belonged to at that time, went to the Methodist Church all the time. And they knew him downstate for being a cowboy piano player. They heard some.
Do you have any pictures of him playing?
Yes, I have. And I had a bunch of tapes, and somebody had come in and put some music on top of them and run them off and ruin the tapes. So I was real disgusted about that. But that just happens. That's not something.
Yeah, you can't do anything about it.
You can't do anything about it. When he was sick, well, we had a boy there, and he wanted some popular music, so we put it on top of Ross's tapes.
Mm. Oh, dear.
So I only have 2 or 3 tapes of his, but he was one of them. They still use his tape, one of them on the Easter pageant out there. When he plays, when they sing, there's one song that Jane sings and he plays.
That's great. Wow.
And the Easter pageant, that's another thing. It's been going on for 50 years out there. Maybe you've heard of that.
Kenton
Easter pageants. We celebrated our 50th year this year. And
that's just a little east of town, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's on our ranch.
Oh, all right.
And the first time they had it, we took old sheets and made costumes for them. And for the disciples, and that was all that had costumes. The rest of them just played the parts, but that time we took old sheets and dyed them different colors. I helped make a lot of them, and they used those to go up the hill. And when the time came for the crowd, everybody got out of the cars and went up the hill with them to make a crowd. And the crucifixion is on top of the hill where they show it, where they play the last part of it.
Huh. Wow.
Isn't that coincidental? That was the beginning of the hospital, too.
Yeah, well, I didn't remember it.
Same year.
The same year.
50 years here.
All right. Well, that was 50 years last spring. But we had it. Our first. And there's been lots. At the time, we used just local ranchers in it. But now we have to ask for help because it's got so big that we have to have all the neighboring towns nearly around. Some of them come and help us. Of course, the high school kids love to come out and practice on Sunday afternoon. That gives them somewhere to go.
Yeah.
I used to always have a house full on Sunday.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that you were having to beg for help.
I wasn't begging for help.
No, I mean for the
pageant. Well, there aren't enough people out there anymore. But then there's people coming from everywhere that help.
Yeah.
Well, good.
You don't have to ask too long, huh?
Well, we don't even have to ask. They like to come and be in.
Yeah.
Fine. Great.
There's a few of them, I guess, maybe they ask. I don't work with it anymore. I worked for a good many years. I dressed them for 17 years. So that was quite a chore, seeing that all the costumes were made.
I can imagine.
But it takes everybody working together, or we couldn't put it on. People just sit in their cars, and they have it fixed so you can turn your radio on and listen to it if it's cold.
Huh. Wow.
All right.
What about other holidays that you remember doing special things on? 4th of July?
Oh, 4th of July, they nearly always had a picnic out somewhere. Here we used to go down to the river here at the ranch. The old Flying W Ranch, they go down there, there's big old cottonwood trees down there then. And we'd go down there and put up tables, be a big community thing, to get together on the 4th of July, usually.
Did you ever have fireworks at all? Or was that just a recent thing?
Have horse races and things like that.
Foot races?
Yeah.
Did you ever fight a prairie fire?
No.
That's why they don't have fireworks.
Yeah.
Good enough.
Too dry here.
Yeah.
Well, this is simple reason. The other day we were moving a bunch of cattle and we looked out and there was a prairie fire right across the road from us. And I said, I'll bet that's the first time they ever had a woman out there on a walker telling them which way to go.
Fighting fires.
But the trucks had come and I show them both curves.
I saw you coming in here. You were pretty fast. You're pretty speedy on that thing, and you're not walking. You're kind of running.
It's a runner.
Yeah.
Well, I do all right. I broke my hip last summer, and so I've had to walk on. I feel safer with it. I was doing pretty good until then.
Well, talking about running, you mentioned earlier that you left this area when the dust storm started. Where did you go?
Southeastern Kansas.
And what did you do there?
I worked on a farm.
Yeah.
I had a job from a farmer for $1 a day, 3 days a week. Hmm. And the wife and I lived on that. Hmm. And I walked to work. I could not drive my car. I walked to work. So we'd have gasoline to go to town to get her little dab of groceries or kerosene, which, you know, with no electricity.
That's $12 a month.
Yeah.
That's what you lived on for that?
That's what we lived on.
Was it, I mean, I know you could live on a lot less back then, but was that hard to get by on $12, or were you
doing? It was
if you had
hard
a doctor
to get by on that. Well, you see, we had to have our flour and our cornmeal and our sugar. And you, if you use much of that, which you did, the flour and the cornmeal to make your bread, cornbread or light bread or biscuits out of your flour, you go skimpy, you save it to make your money stretch out and go, and you had to have a pair of shoes once in a while, or some clothes, and I won't tell you, it was hard to do.
Yeah.
It's hard to make it meet. To do that. Then I finally graduated up from that, went from that to I got a job on a farm at $25 a month, and I thought I was in big heaven then. Mm-hmm.
Twice as much.
Yeah, but I worked the hours too, and the boy, he had a tractor and horses and mules, which did both work, drove tractor, plowed. He mainly raised corn there and had a lot of sheep, around 50 to 100 head of sheep. And one of my jobs every day was, every evening, was to corral those sheep, not to leave them out where the coyotes or stray dogs could get into them. And he had a big collie dog. And when I had to do that, well, I'd take that collie dog with me. And the dog wouldn't work for him only when he went with him. So I took it with him, with me, and kept working with him. And before I left there and got a better job over by Chanute, Kansas, I had that dog where I could just go to the gate where I had to shut when the sheep come all in. I'd say, now go get them, go bring them in. Mm-hmm. And he'd go off down that way, down behind them, and get around them. And of course, them sheep all knew what it meant, and here they'd come. He got up there with them all. I closed the gate, and that was it. He saved me a many a step.
That's all right.
It's a great story.
Sure did. But then I moved on from that to working on a ranch and farming for Mr. Frank Young, and he was an oil man. But
is that still in Kansas?
I was in Kansas, near Chanute.
We're all from that area. I'm from Bartlesville, and Shelly's from Springfield.
Oh, so are you?
Yeah.
Oh,
we know that.
Of course, I lived out west of Chanute on his dad's place. Hmm. But I was roused about, I guess, what you call it. I worked. He found out that I could work, weld a little bit, stuff that way, and he'd have me come in and help at the shop there at the office in town, because he had drilling rigs and all kinds of oil field work to do there in his shop.
That's when you were making $25?
Yeah.
Do you remember when you got that job? Did you buy anything special, or did you celebrate in any way when you doubled your salary?
Nothing, only we bought some line of clothes for the wife and I and the little boy. We mm-hmm. had a little one in that meantime, and we bought some new clothes first mm-hmm. thing. Then the next, I don't know, two or three paychecks after that, well, I traded and got us a better automobile to get around in.
Mm-hmm.
I had an old baby Oberlin, and I traded it in and got a Pontiac coupe.
What was the first car you had?
Baby Oberlin.
Baby? Overland.
Oberlin.
Okay, right. I've never heard of that before.
You haven't?
Nope.
Whippet, you heard of that?
I've heard of that, yeah.
Well, that's what it was to start with, was a baby Oberlin.
Okay.
And then the Whippet, and then and I went from that into the Jeeps.
Right.
Use that same motor.
To the what?
In the Jeep.
The Jeep.
Oh.
Like the Willys. That Jeep.
During the service, during the war, well, they made them Jeeps and used that Oberlin motor in the Jeep.
Same one. All
right. When did you come back from Kansas? When did you come back to Oklahoma?
43.
What about, do you guys know of other people who left when times got too hard?
Lots of people left. A lot
of
them.
Oh, you wouldn't believe. Grapes of wrath.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to go to California. They thought
well, you take
be.
Our area out there, and there was a gob of them left out there.
But in the long run, I don't think they were any better off than we were.
Probably not.
No.
Did you stay in contact with them?
But they didn't come back either.
Yeah. Some of them come back and some of them didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, like the Roberts's, my neighbors that I have right now are 2 miles from us, closest neighbors, but we've been here for 50-some years together, so you kind of get close like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to California and stayed for several years, but they all moved back.
Yeah.
You know, one thing about that time, there wasn't very much discipline problem with the children.
Never.
They stayed. In fact, my two brothers said that my mother killed the peach trees. We had some little peach trees. Said she killed those peach trees getting switches off of them.
You know, there's a difference between the mean children and their mother.
Uh-huh.
And they need to be taught
them. Sure.
That would be called child
brutality.
Yeah.
It would
be
called death. Today.
You would be imposing on their person.
Yes.
So what kind of things would you do that would result in a switch from the peach tree?
Maybe not doing their chores or,
yeah.
you know, just mischief. Not anything too severe. They weren't very bad.
We were talking to a lady yesterday who said she got in trouble because she'd climb up on the windmill.
One of my brothers did that. Then he was later a pilot during the war. So
we had a real high cow chute where the trucks
below. He liked to be high.
My daughter at 2 years old climbed up there and I started to get her down. She said, "Oh, Mama, get down, you'll fall."
Oh. You're not the only one, huh?
I was trying to get her down. I had to let her climb down. She was looking.
Oh, goodness. Well, During this time, people were leaving. Some people were staying, toughing it out. Do you remember any tramps or hobos coming through the areas where you lived? And tell us about that.
Not in this area, there wasn't, because there was no railroad.
Yeah.
But there were lots of them over at Texoma.
Yeah.
And there were even... Some of them were educated people.
Oh, very.
They just could not find jobs.
Very educated.
They'd ride the...
Lots of New Yorkers.
The trains.
Chicago. All in the East.
Yeah.
Just desperate for work.
Or for something.
Well, they hitchhiked on the trains, mainly.
Yeah.
They did that at Texline. My grandparents lived at Texline. And they'd have... a hobo or two every day, begging.
Did food. They feed them, your grandparents?
They never turned a one down.
Don't think anybody did, do you? If they had something to eat, they'd feed them.
But my mother would you like to hold some of those weeds?
Yeah, so she would have them actually do some chores.
Yeah. Huh? Right.
Yeah, did they do a good job?
You bet.
Yeah.
And one day she forgot it. He even forgot she'd had a man. And there he was out there in that hot sun, just cutting the... And I said, Mom, are you just going to kill him? She said, oh, my goodness, I forgot all about him. And she fixed him a glorious meal. Oh.
What did he get that was different than what she would normally give?
What?
What did she feed him that was different than normal?
Oh, we didn't have a big breakfast. We just had some oats and toast.
Yeah.
He had bacon and eggs and fried potatoes and gravy. And
That's a big story.
What about gypsies? We've heard some people talk about gypsies. Did any of you have any experiences or know of?
When we lived at Wiley, and our house was just, our farm was cornered to Wiley. Well, it was on this corner of the section. We were on this corner.
Okay.
And there was a road into Twins. And that was a favorite spot for the gypsies. And there was always a bunch of gypsies in there in wagons.
Yeah.
And I don't remember them ever causing any trouble. People talked about the gypsies, but to me, I think they were just people that was hungry and needed care.
So were you scared of them or anything?
Oh, no, I don't remember ever being scared of them. Maybe we kind of watched a little bit, but I wasn't afraid of them.
Yeah.
I wasn't trained to be afraid of them.
Yeah.
You ever have pictures of gypsies? Did you ever take any pictures or have any of them at all? They're kind of mysterious. I've never seen... No one ever has pictures of them.
Well, I don't know that they were just ordinary people in a wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just they had teams of wagons, and they just unhook those wagons at night and let their horses eat, and then they move on the next day because they didn't have any place to go, so they just...
Yeah.
That's the way I remember. That was when I was a little girl, though.
That sound similar?
Well, I only saw a one group, that, and they came to Wheelis. I went to school up there, and they came by the store. But, you know, I just didn't know anything about it. They just talked about them. But that's the only ones I ever saw.
What did they look like?
Well, just ordinary people, poor people that were just in the wagons. And as Anika said, just traveled that way. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'd stay for 3 or 4 days or a week.
Yeah.
They could get something to eat and some help, or maybe they'd work a little bit. Some of them, you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
As I remember. But as I said, that's a long, long time ago. That's been, I expect, 80 years ago.
Do you remember how big the group was?
Well, sometimes it would be several wagons. Sometimes it would be just one.
Yeah.
Or two. Because the way I remember, I don't remember too much about it.
There was this little girl that, well, she was selling the lace, and I thought Mom ought to buy it from her so she could take something home to her folks. And she did. And she said, now, do you want some that's not so wide? And Mother said, no, I don't need any like that. And she said, well, would you like me to come back the next day? And Mother said, no, I expect this is all I can get. But those people were dark complexioned.
Yeah.
And had real long black hair. Hmm. They were just as nice and polite as they could be. And nobody complained of anybody being robbed of anything, you know?
Yeah.
They were good, evidently good people. But they were foreigners, too.
Yeah.
I think most of them were good people. They just didn't have anything to do. Maybe they had. Maybe they'd go in and get something to eat or something, like somebody's house, get chicken or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't remember ever us ever having any trouble. And they were like, oh, our house was a quarter of a mile from where they camped.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was that the people were. That's the way I remember.
Do you recall any sort of community assistance giving to people who had fallen on hard times?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of programs would be?
The churches went together at Texoma, and that meant membership contributed food and clothes that they couldn't use. And, and they set up a place in town in the business, one of the empty business houses. And people going through could go by and pick up food and pick up clothing.
Is that the same sort of things you remember?
Well, people have always, in our community, have always been helpful. If there's any sickness or death or anything happen, people are always willing, even today, we still are willing to help one another. We're very concerned about our community, our fellow man, all the way.
Yeah.
And that's one thing we've got to say. Our communities all work together. The other day we had a funeral and had 130 people. And we didn't know how we were going to feed them. We called Boy City and we called Fell, and both of them helped us.
But we always said
Quiz, not Fell, Quiz. But they all sent food when we was going to have. And they still do. Our communities work together.
When you had community, the churches would get clothes and different things. Was it... Did you ever have to go and take from that assistance? I mean, did any of your families ever have to use that means to get by?
Not in my family.
No, people just always came in. You know, if you needed help, you know, like sit up with someone that was sick or anything like that. I know that our neighbor one time, Herman Bulls, got... he was running a saw and it cut his head open, and my husband and my brothers went to Amarillo to sit with him, and you know, just things like that. Or in the community, if there's they was harvest time or anything like that, they always go in and help harvest, or you know, any way you can help, they always do.
I just wondered how bad a family had to get down before they would accept community help, you know, like food or clothes or something.
Some
like
of them were pretty stubborn.
Yeah.
And the WPA came in about that time.
I was going to ask you about New Deal programs in this area.
And that helped a lot. That's when they dug out that dinosaur track, or dinosaur, out of the our pasture down there.
Yeah.
And it's in what museum now? I forget. Is it?
Isn't it at Goodwill?
It was, but they took it somewhere further.
Oh, did they? They took it to Norman?
Norman, I believe it's down there, but that was taken out of our pasture.
Huh. Wow.
Out there. And they put a bone up to represent it.
Yeah.
It was out of cement. And my husband rode by that on that bone on a horse, and he said it was just the height of him on the horse. So that tells you how big that one bone is out of that. It's out there on the side of the hill. But we have quite a time because people shoot it down. You can't believe how people mistreat things. And we've got Coronado's writing out there where he wrote his name and his signature on our place, and they've tried to chip it out. We have to keep the gates locked. We didn't used to have to do that. People never thought about tearing up everything. But anymore, you have to protect things or they'll tear them up.
Is that on part of the tour that's tomorrow?
We're going to your house, huh?
Yeah, we're going on the tour tomorrow.
Well, now I don't know whether they go to Coronado's Ride over there or not. It's on the north side of the river, and it's called Castle Rock. But there's a place on one side that has his name in 1541.
Huh. Wow. If we don't see it on the tour, could we come out on our own?
Yes, if you'll ask us to come out, we'll go with you.
Yeah.
Because we don't let people just go in.
Sure.
Makes sense.
What's the name?
Coronado.
Oh, sure enough.
Yes, you know, he made a tour. Mm-hmm. He went up into Kansas and come back, and his signature is on one of the rocks out there in our pasture.
Great.
I'd like to see that.
But we have to. People are just chipping on them, and they've even tried
they shoot
to chip
with
out.
Them.
They tried to chip the rocks by the dinosaur tracks out of the bottom of the creek, and they had to.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Isn't yes, some of them have. They just, you just can't believe it. People have made imitation dinosaur tracks, which is fine, but they shouldn't try to take those out of the creek. Mm-hmm.
No.
There's two sets of out there just north of Kenton, two sets of tracks going across mm-hmm. with dinosaur tracks.
Yep.
Yeah, we went out and saw one of them when we were here before.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. We were walking in the dinosaur feet.
Well, that's good.
What other sorts of New Deal programs were in place out here?
Well, they were very much partisan.
Yeah.
The Democrats were in office, and if you were not the same what should I say?
Affiliation.
You did, thank you. You weren't likely to get a job.
Yeah. So what was, going off of that, what was the feeling and the attitude towards Roosevelt?
What was the feeling?
What did you think about Franklin Roosevelt?
Oh, where I was, he was next to God.
Yeah. Did your family agree with that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
My dad was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat.
Yeah.
And I wasn't old enough to vote, but I thought he was, whatever Dad said was right,
yeah.
You know. I have since changed my ways.
What about the rest of you guys in FDR?
Well, I thought he did a lot for the country. And he did a lot when he built those electrical plants, dams and things. And we later got electricity out here, which we didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Finally got telephones. It's been great. It's really helpful.
And roads. When the WPA were working, it was dirt roads, but they worked on them. They got the roads so you could get around. Sometimes you couldn't get through. I remember one time we sold calves, and Cat Williams was living out here on the point, and he took his tractor down north of there and pulled our trucks through to get the calves through day and night. And the only way we could get them through was to send them all around the roads because the roads were so bad. But he will help us pull them through.
Good. Nice.
And that shows you what kind of neighbors you have.
Yeah.
One neighbor helps the other.
What were you going to say about FDR? You had the New Deal.
Well, he did. He helped a lot. And like Marcia said, our country are in different ways. All right.
I know there were a lot of people that didn't like him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true.
That's true.
That's all right.
What I said is local. The local mm-hmm. people were the ones that made the, you know, that punished you if you weren't the right political affiliation.
Okay. This is a little bit different. You said about electricity. Do you remember the first time you got electricity? What was the best part? What was the best thing when you first got electricity?
Pulling the chain.
Yeah.
It's been great to have deep freezes, you know, and our refrigerators and things. Because we used to have it, before we had that, when we kept our milk in a milk trough where the water ran through, cool the milk and butter and things, that's the coolest it was.
To get electricity up to my folks' house, in 1944, I dug the holes by hand. Dad had talked to them and tried to get them, and the electric line run right on the south side of our place, a quarter of a mile from the house. and they wouldn't run electricity up to our house. But if you dig the holes, we'll run the electricity up there, and I dug them by hand to get the electricity put in up to my folks' house.
30-foot holes.
Yeah.
Awful.
Hollowing boats. That's, and it was great because, like she, Marcia said, and I still have the old milk trough outside where we run the water from the windmill through that and into the stock tank for the cattle. And I still have part of that old milk trough out there to, that we used and they used for years.
The one's still in up there at Kenton at our
bread
and breakfast.
You've got that bed and breakfast as you're going up to Black Mesa. It's on the right.
No, we've got the one in town.
Okay.
That's Monty Roberts's. That's our neighbor's.
All right.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know they had one.
Well, yes. You did have, didn't you?
Well, we have. We've got the one.
You still have one in
town. But it's in town. Ours is, and that's out in the country.
Yep.
And then sometimes we use mine upstairs, but we don't unless we get them tight.
Yeah.
I have two bedrooms upstairs, and sometimes we use them mine upstairs.
That's all right. Do you remember when you first got indoor plumbing?
What?
When you first got indoor plumbing?
Yeah, because I've done it.
Yeah? When was that?
Well, it had to be in 45, 46, when I put it in the house. Because I did the work myself, and my dad helped.
Yeah. How about you guys?
It was about that time. And we also, my husband and I built a kitchen on our house. We laid the blocks up with blocks and built another room on. But our little house was considered pretty nice. It was built by a railroad man, and it was well built. But they're just, all the rooms were small, and we really needed some more room. So we built this kitchen on ourselves. So it was fun.
Yeah.
In fact, I've done a little bit of everything. Besides laying blocks, I've driven tractors, I've combines, and I've ridden horses. I've done just about all of it.
Well, how do you think that living through the Depression in the 30s has affected who you are today?
Well, I think it's made us more, we consider how much money's worth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At that time, we couldn't buy anything, and I think it taught us how to save our money.
Yeah.
In fact, I live off of my Social Security, and I save some of it.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm meaning. We learn that we cannot just spend everything because we've got it.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
No, I tease my husband all the time. I said, when are you ever going to take me out to eat? I said, everybody else goes out to eat, but we don't.
What'd he say?
He said, well, everybody doesn't get to eat at home like we can. But a long time ago, when we were first married, well, we met up with some of our neighbors, and they were going to a movie, and they were buying groceries, you know, and they were buying some of the best. Well, we were very conservative, so we just didn't, but we hardly ever went to a movie or anything. We just didn't feel like we could afford it. But then later, somebody said, well, you guys sure did well. How did you get so much?
Yeah.
But we were conservative, all right. Not that we have so much, I don't mean that, but it just, you know.
The Dirty 30s taught us that's lived through it to save.
That's right.
Yeah. It don't throw nothing away till it's worn plumb out, and then you don't throw it away, you still.
Just in case.
try to repair it back or use it to repair something else.
In other words, not to be extravagant on anything.
Right, right.
Well, when I taught school, I got $75 a month, and you couldn't get a teacher today paid $75 a day. But
that's what I got too.
I bet it was too. But my folks had irrigated water, and they couldn't pay for it. I paid for that, and I bought the groceries. So I think we learned a lot by having to be careful of our money.
How about you, Mrs. Jacobs? How do you think it's affected who you are?
I really don't know.
If you come and our house and see how what she's got hoarded up.
You know. It makes you a pack rat. That's what he's saying.
She wouldn't tell that. Reason I had to tell it, see?
You better wait till I get you home.
Well, they're trying to get the things for our museum at Kent, and I tell them all they need to do is come to my house.
Yeah. A little bit of everything. That seems to be a common response, that to hold on to everything and to just keep it no matter what,
whether you need it or not.
Yeah.
And he comes along, you.
But we divide. If somebody comes along and needs it, we'll divide with them.
I have a lot of jeans that our boys have let me have, and he's worn out. And I've been going to make a quilt or a bedspread or something, but I just have them piled up, and that's quite a bundle when you get it all in one place.
Well, I made myself a quilt.
Huh?
I made my quilt.
Have you?
You.
Well, couldn't make one any warmer.
That's won't last as long. Is that would.
Yeah.
How long have the two of you been married?
Be 46 years.
Yeah.
It was 46 years in March.
Huh. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. She's above us.
I've been married 63 years. My husband's 90 years old.
Oh, wow.
63 years.
It'll be 64 this fall.
Lloyd's going to be 90 in August.
We would have been married 63 years this next week.
Would you?
Yes.
How long?
We would have been 97.
You would have been married how long?
63.
Oh.
Same as you.
Oh.
I've been married 19 days.
Oh, have you?
Well, isn't that nice?
Almost coming up on my 3-week anniversary.
You have a ways to go.
Well, that's wonderful. Just make it last for that long.
I was hoping the 63-year women might have some
advice.
Yeah, and you too, some advice if you want to pass it on.
What?
Advice to keep it going.
How to stay 46, 63, almost 63.
Oh.
So,
just be considered. Considerate of one another.
18 years
right.
And thoughtful of one another.
Good enough.
I lost my husband 18 years ago, so we hadn't been married only 45.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't think of anything else.
Nope. I think we're at the end of our list, unless there's something else you want to add. If you can think of any advice to help me out down the road.
Put God first.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it'll work.